always enjoy having Pete Weber on the show, the voice of the Predators. This is one I really wish I hadn't had to ask, quite frankly, because he's always welcome. But yesterday, the passing, Monday, the passing of former Captain Greg Johnson at the age of 48. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you, and I'll just throw a little aside here, not to distract or pull away from the subject matter, but you just took me back in time when I heard the Marquees and last night as that musical bed going in, because I can keep hearing Brent Musburger doing his NBA tees over that music back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, Steve Cropper and the Marquees with that.
Yep.
So just terrible news as it filtered out on Monday. Greg Johnson, an original Predator, 7 years here, second team captain, and really, in my mind, one of the class act. You know, and I've said this on this station many, many times, my favorite Predator of all time was Greg Johnson, just because of that first 7 years, how graciously he handled everything.
Yeah, every situation, including... and just to remind people what it was like that night in November of 2005 when Uri Fischer collapsed on the Red Wings bench and the Predators were up in Detroit for that game. And I'll never forget doing the upstairs-downstairs interview with Greg while we were still waiting to find out what the disposition of that particular match might turn out to be. You're going to stop it, pick it up later on whatsoever. And I could just tell from the look on Greg's face that there was probably in the dressing room as well, no idea whatsoever of playing any more hockey that night.
It's you when these guys come here, Pete, the expansion, you've seen this. A lot of guys don't want to come here when that expansion team happens. But he seemed to embrace the role of, like, you know what, new adventure, new challenge, and do it. What separated him? Is that what made him special?
He just enjoyed, you used the critical word there, Joe, challenge. He enjoyed the challenge. He met that consistently in his college career at North Dakota, where he is still North Dakota's all-time leading scorer. He embraced that no matter where he was in the NHL. Philadelphia draftee, played in Pittsburgh, played in Chicago and Detroit before coming here to join the Predators, and then tried to rejoin Detroit, but a physical would not allow that in the fall of 2006, but challenges were something he always wanted to meet. I think he was one of those guys who enjoyed being the underdog. I look back through my files just for photos and so on, and I knew that his hero was Wayne Gretzky, so I had a picture, I thought, that was given to me of him facing off against Wayne Gretzky. It was then the Nashville Arena. And the fact of the matter is, you see Wayne Gretzky, you barely see Greg Johnson. that might be a little bit of a commentary on how big Wayne Gretzky truly was, not physically, but in terms of impact.
Well, I just look at that as seeing a guy that laid the foundation for so many things, wonderful things to come here, and the fact he embraced that. Because wasn't there one guy that did not want to come here, and I forget his name?
Yeah, he was a guy from Detroit, and he happened to be the son-in-law of the owner of the New York Football Giants, and that was a guy named Doug Brown, who simply refused to report after being taken in the expansion draft, and the Predators got some other compensation for them. But the fans in that early year, that first year, I think realized that, so every time Mr. Brown stepped on the ice for the Red Wings here in Nashville, he was so warmly greeted.
Pete Weber, at Pete Weber Sports on Twitter, the passing of Greg Johnson, 48. The thing that impressed me more about anything, and along with him and some of the earlier guys, Scott Walker, a little later on Thomas Vokoun, everybody, but with Greg especially, that term non-traditional hockey market was such a convenient thing. And, of course, we've outgrown that finally in others' eyes. But there was what you and Crispy were doing with, you know, the Predators one-on-one thing. He understood that this was, you know, new to us here. There were the purists who knew it, but that it had to be an educational curve on and off the ice of just how an NHL franchise worked. And there was nobody better at understanding that than Greg.
No, you are absolutely correct. This is a guy, and again, another challenge to be embraced, but he went after it right away. I mean, that early group off that first team, there were, you know, it took six seasons to make the playoffs, and obviously Greg was among those, along with Mike Dunham, Thomas Volkoon, Bob Buechner, and Joel Bouchard were not around for it, nor was J.J. Daniel. But Greg Johnson was on the ice for the very first faceoff in team history, set up the first goal in team history, and he was the guy who got them through so many, you know, potentially difficult times, but just saying, come on, guys, we can do this. And they did.
With the when Correa signed here, was that 05 or 06? When was that?
That was the summer of 05. I was on a field in Rochester, New York, doing a minor league baseball broadcast, and I was interviewing Francisco Liriano of the Rochester Red Wings as my cell phone was burning a hole in my pocket. So that night in July of 2005 was very incredible. Now, there's another tie to Greg Johnson. They were teammates on the Canadian national team that took silver in the 1994 Winter Olympics. So I think we could say that Greg probably played a little bit of a role in Paul Correa deciding to sign here in Nashville.
Yeah, you know, and still that Correa is still, and I, you know, might some might say Duchesne and all this, that Correa to me is still the biggest signing at the time of what the Predators were trying to establish and accomplish to get him here. And Greg Johnson, like you thought, played a small part in getting Paul Correa here.
Yeah, and well, Paul Correa, I think, was what, for the rest of the National Hockey League, gave this Nashville franchise legitimacy. And when they saw that Paul Correa wanted to play here, indeed, he probably more than the Predators recruiting him, he recruited the Predators. I think that was a huge move, without question.
Pete Weber with us at Pete Weber Sports as well. And, yeah, I remember distinctly, you know, when he had gone back to the Red Wings and then, of course, that physical found the irregular heartbeat. And, you know, it's easy for people to connect the dots to then and now. So, but we just don't know. You never know.
No.
But I remember talking to him about a month after he was retired. And of course, he's disappointed, but he was so much at peace. He was living in the Detroit area. He had his two girls, and he just seems like he transitioned into that post-NHL life that was forced upon him early. It was so well.
He was one of those, though, that I think Greg was preparing for that as the career went along. It wasn't like all of a sudden he got a thanks, I needed that aftershave shot in the morning. He was always involved in researching the financial markets and so on, and that's where he cast his lot thereafter. And, you know, that heart situation that he had turned out to be hereditary. And his brother, Ryan, also was forced into retirement. He was trying to come on with the St. Louis Blues that year, and he couldn't pass his physical either.
I'm trying to think of other guys that have passed away from those early teams that stand out. I'm sure there's been others, but to me, Greg's the one that stands because it's the most current and the recent one.
Yeah, and, you know, then the later, obviously, Wade Belak, but I cannot think of no other names occur to me.
Well, yeah, he's 48 years old. There's really, you know, with all of that. And you know, the one thing he was, and you know, there was a time that there were three player shows in this town. Greg had one on another station. Scott Walker had one on another station. And then we had Thomas Volkoon on this station.
Right.
And there was a rivalry. And you witnessed it because I've heard you talk about it, like on the plane ride back, that every one of them had to jockey because their mission was to bring a player, you know.
Yes.
And so, well, two others are eliminated because they're already got their shows. And it was always funny how they would almost bribe the other players to come to their show. And so, and that was sort of the heyday of that and of really, and I think Greg, once again, like what you and Pete did, was so important to bringing this city along because of that. But there was always that playfulness between that trio.
The playfulness, and I would have to say the bribery of nice meals.
Yes.
That got divvied out for all of that, for the prize for being on the air.
You almost feel bad talking about, you know, the Matt Duchesne press conference yesterday because of all the news that happened. But, you know, the sport of hockey goes on. And, you know, and Duchesne's here now, happy to be here. I think he might be, Pete, the happiest guy the Nashville Predators have ever signed.
Well, I did a sit down with him yesterday that'll be later online, and he obviously was very. I said, okay, first of all, was there truly a love affair between you, your family, and the city of Nashville? And he said, yeah, without any question. And I will not do a spoiler thing here for anything else, but he also follows along because I asked him, I said, you know, you obviously were taught, whoever your coaches were from youth hockey on, that you always played until you heard the whistle. He said, where are you going? I said, I think I know where you're going. And that was in February of 2013 when he didn't hear a whistle and he scored that offside goal against Chris Mason,
which has
brought us to the offside challenge in today's NHL.
Well, it just, you talk about strength through the middle now. That amps it up big time.
Does it ever. There's a lot of more interchangeability, I think, that Peter Laviolette has to work with here right now. And I know the first occurrence in many minds in this area, well, that helps solve power play problems. And there's a very good chance that indeed it can.
You know, Pete, it seems like since P.K. Subban got traded, because that was been in the talks and rumored for months and months, like this huge cloud was kind of let off the Predators because of all that. Now it's done. It's over with. Duchesne's here. Go forth and conquer.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Move on. Or as Bill Belichick would say, we're talking about Cincinnati now.
It just seems because this was hanging everybody's heads for months. And now that it's over with, it seems like a breath of fresh air.
It really does. It really does. And, and Matt Duchesne has talked about, if there's one thing he could write a book on right now, it's how to quickly move your place of residence, how to get things packed up, because here's a guy who moved from Denver to Ottawa to Columbus and now to Nashville in a very brief period of time, and he understands what goes into all of that now.
Well, he already has a house here, so he could just kick out his tenants and take over.
Yeah, and he's putting one up for sale now in Denver as well, which he still held through his Avalanche days.
Yeah. Well, Pete, always a pleasure, and we'd love to obviously talk to you under better circumstances.
Well, hold on, I got it. Pete, before we go,
I'm sorry.
We brought something up earlier about, we were talking about, today's Andre Dawson's birthday, and we were talking about the 1987 Chicago Cubs, how awful they were. And we parlayed that into talking about the 88 MVP, Kirk Gibson. And I was telling Greg, remember the story of what Kirk Gibson's first day at spring training, what his teammates did to him. Remember?
Yep. The shoe polish on the inside of the hat band. And, he didn't enjoy that too much. His combativeness came out right away without any question. And that 87 Cubs team, on that Cubs team was one of my boyhood buddies, Jimmy Sundberg, a catcher. And in that off season, we talked about what the impact Andre Dawson had there. If people can recall, he signed a blank contract. He said, I just want to play for the Cubs on natural grass, get my aching knees off the AstroTurf that was at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. And what a monster year he had. And it was incredible to watch. Guys, there's one thing I want to say about Greg. And I think he summed himself up very well. The Chicago Tribune, before Greg came here, the Predators took him from the Blackhawks roster in the expansion draft of 98, would do these little vignettes and ask the players to try to sum themselves up in three words. And here are the three words Greg Johnson used to sum himself up, and I think people can understand with these words why he was such an effective leader in the Predators' dressing room. These were the three words: competitive, honest, and loyal.
Hard to top that.
Pete.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on Greg Johnson. We really appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Thank you for asking. Appreciate it, guys.